This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
The kid is your mother.
The kid is my mother.
And I'm the father.
I know. My daughter's my mother. My son's my father.
And the other son
and
is
the
your
other
bro.
Son is my bro.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a sex expert and cougar and the world's oldest living millennial.
I'm glad you added that. And my son, he's a stand-up comic, a mime, and a Buddhist clown.
Together, we talk about sex twice a week. Once on Thursdays, once on Mondays. Thursdays with a guest. Monday is our Monday morning after show. That's what MAS stands for, if you're looking at the title of this. And what do we do on Mondays, Mother?
Monday, we answer your responses and comments about prior episodes or any other questions you might have about sex or dating or life in general.
Yeah. And why do we talk about sex?
We talk about sex because it just ain't talked about enough. Actually, we had a weird experience talking about sex recently.
What?
Today.
What do you mean?
Well, we went into a place where they make...
Oh, dank-ass coffee.
Really good coffee.
It was called Dark Matter Coffee in Chicago.
Yes.
In Ukrainian Village.
Cam did a little research, found out that they... What is that called again when they make coffee?
Roast.
They roast the coffee.
It's a roastery.
The roastery.
So we got
plus
a tour of the whole roastery by our new friend Theo.
Theo.
If you're listening, thank you for that tour.
And ironically, well, so I decided to tell Theo about our podcast when we were leaving.
As you do anytime you go anywhere.
I think it's important that the host spread the word instead of just waiting for the word to just be spread on its own.
Okay.
So I decided to tell Theo about the podcast. I wrote it down. Here's the podcast name. She listens to podcasts and she doesn't blink an eye when I write sex talk with my mom on a piece of paper. Not even like, oh, that's unusual. Just like... Okay,
yeah,
I'll listen to it.
Well, Theo said that they worked at a lot of sex stores.
Well, it turned out that one of her relatives is a very outspoken sexologist, and she was also...
You do a lot of she in her, but a lot of she in her pronouns. We don't know if that's the case.
Oh, yeah, Theo.
It was a hip coffee shop. I don't want to assume anyone's pronouns there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Theo has worked in quite a few little sex shops, and not like sex toy shops and other places like that.
We got to cut.
You do this every time.
Well, how long? We got four minutes talking about Theo.
All right. Well, anyway, the reason I bring it up is because she said it's just not talked about
again,
enough.
Again, she.
He, they said it's just not talked about enough. Okay? So that's why we do it. We talk about it because... Why not? You know, it's another interesting thing happened recently.
What?
I'm going way off the rails here. One of our relatives came up to me and asked me a very explicit sexual question, which I thought was very neat and very cool.
What was the question?
Is it possible that my girlfriend could be super orgasmic? It just comes up to me like instead of like, oh, you know, what's the weather going
to
be tomorrow?
And what was
and
the answer
by the way,
to that?
Can someone be super orgasmic?
What was the answer?
Truthfully, I mean, I think what he's confusing super orgasmic with is having an orgasm for a woman, which is different than having an orgasm for a man, because an orgasm for a woman can last up to like 45 seconds to a minute, at least longer even.
Oh,
sometimes.
So you're just saying the duration is longer than normal. I think he was saying that the orgasm is just very easy to come by.
Well, that's another issue. That's a completely
it's an
different issue.
Issue.
That's like almost like being like,
is that
you,
a, that's not, it doesn't
you
sound
know,
like an issue,
when you come
mother.
Too soon. You know, that kind of thing. You come really quickly.
It doesn't seem like that's an issue.
Now, Nina Hartley had told me that there are some women, like some porn stars, that are like, they can come repeatedly over and over and over, no refractory period whatsoever, whereas she is like a one and done.
Well.
So it's just, every woman is different.
So I'm reading She Comes First by Dr. Ian Kerner right now, which, by the way, I'm literally walking around with a vagina book.
Well, it's not a
vulva book with me at all times.
The picture is actually is that a pomegranate?
I don't know. We've already described it on the show.
Okay.
It looks like a vagina. It looks like a vulva. I keep saying this. I can't say vagina anymore because I'm literally looking at diagrams of a vulva and getting a tutorial. This is the best sex ed training I think I've ever gotten.
And what did you say earlier? You wish you had this book 10 years ago?
I wish I had this book 10 years ago. I've been texting every single person I know about this. It completely has changed the way I view sex.
Do you see the way I earmarked that book?
Well, I think that these pages are all...
What?
Well, fucked from you.
What does that mean, fucked from me?
I don't know what you were doing with this book. I don't know what was happening with this thing.
I was reading it in depth.
Yeah, you were reading it in depth.
And I was marking the pages off so I could show it to my boyfriend.
We were marking very different pages, by the way.
Really?
Yes. You're marking all the techniques that you think would be fun for someone to do on you.
Absolutely.
And I'm marking the pages of just like pictures of a vulva.
You're just getting down to the basics.
Trying to get the basics down here. Yeah.
That is very funny. Well, I already knew basic. I know basic anatomy.
You know, where's the urethra?
Urethra is where the pee hole is.
Yeah, that is the pee hole.
Yeah.
But it's inside.
It's kind of the vaginal canal. It's not really inside, no. It's kind of like on the outside, like right next to the clit.
See, you have a head start on this.
Of course, I happen to know my own body.
Because you happen to have one.
Exactly. And men don't know, but I hope men do know the difference between a vagina and a pee hole.
The clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings.
I did.
Which is double the... Wait, is triple, it double?
No, it's like 100 times or maybe 1,000 times.
No. I think, oh, yeah. Oh, God. What was the quote? I think it was like... I think it might be
40
double.
Times maybe.
Do you even know the statistic I'm looking for right now?
Yes.
What?
How much more sensitivity and how many more nerve endings is a clit versus a penis?
That's precisely it. And I think it's four times.
A penis.
I think it's four times the amount. So obviously.
Or in your dreams, like 40 times.
Come on. You need me to look this up?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up online right now.
Oh, yeah. You look it up. I've got the book right here in front of me. I bet you I'm going to beat you to it.
Nerve endings of...
Look at this. The frenulum. We all have the same shit anyway. I didn't realize this. Did you know taint stands for it ain't one or the other? Meaning it's between...
No, that's a little fun fact.
I don't know if that was a joke or if that's a real thing.
That is
thing.
Pretty funny. There are more than 8,000 nerve endings in the typical clitoris. That's double the number of those in a penis. Oh, so double.
Double. That's what I thought.
I thought it was like 8,000 times.
Yeah, but it's going to be double as pleasurable as what I interpret.
And this is also interesting. A clitoris is made up of 18 distinct parts, a mixture of erectile tissue, muscle, and nerves.
Yes. I'm learning them all.
I know. You're like the authority on a vagina now.
Yeah.
You heard about the vagina monologues. You got the vagina authority.
Have you heard of the front commissure?
I have not heard of the
you
front commissure.
You got one of those.
I'm glad to hear
Probably
it.
Probably you got one of those. Who
the hell knows if I got a front commissure?
Commissure is at the top of the whole vulva.
You know what? Most women are just happy if the guy knows the difference between the clit and the vagina opening. So that the vaginal opening.
Well, I can't stop reading this thing. It's unbelievable. I said this on a previous show, I think. Here's the difference. First of all, the sexologist that writes this, Ian Kerner, coming on the show.
Okay, he's coming on our show.
That's very exciting. He explains that most of the nerve endings are in the outer area of the whole vulva, meaning that in the clitoris, in the like the centimeters
inside the lips, right?
It's not deep in there.
That's not true.
Deep in the vaginal canal, there are many, many fewer nerve endings.
Yeah, but there are definite parts of the vaginal canal where it's rigid, like where there's ridges, and that is actually part that's called the G spot, and that's part of the clit.
That's what I'm saying.
So what are you saying?
So and that's not even too far in. So here's what I'm saying.
It's all external.
We have a culture premised on this idea that penetration and just getting fucked with a huge dick is like the best for a woman.
Right, exactly. And it's total garbage.
It's nonsense.
It's actually the worst.
It's propagated by men. Probably men who want to fuck and think that they've convinced everyone that intercourse is the best way for women to get off and men to get off.
It's propagated by pornography that is produced primarily by men for men.
So here's the difference. If it is... If if it is true that the shallower parts of the vagina are more enervated, if the clit is more enervated, that means that the mouth might be a better substitute at times, most times, than a dick.
Or a dick that's positioned in the right position, no matter how big or small, especially if it doesn't even have to be anything besides there.
So you're saying people
even a micro penis can get you off.
But so for someone like me who comes quicker than I want to and often feels like, well, how is she going to experience any pleasure if I'm coming in instantly?
I told you she didn't give a flying fuck.
She's not going to give a flying fuck.
I told you that for years.
And then
I've been now, telling people this.
I can do stuff with my mouth. I was a fucking water spitter with the human fountains.
What did you just say that?
Yes. You have no clue the muscles that I gained.
Oh my God.
You have no clue.
All right. I think it's knowledge that more than anything.
I have the understanding of my mouth.
That's
so,
good.
That's so much more controllable and intense than my dick. My
All
dick
right,
is like
ladies
this foreign
out there.
Object. Well, no.
Cam has
no,
got
no,
the techniques.
I still have not gotten
techniques.
To the chapter that's about diseases and how those can be transferred from,
Here we
from
go. Here we
the
go.
Vulva to the mouth.
Okay. All right. Did you get to the part but, where it has
so
to be deep
can I just say,
spiritual sex and you can't fantasize?
No, he doesn't
and you just got to be
that.
Present.
He doesn't talk about that. I'm going to get into that with him. But I don't. Here's the difference.
I cannot even believe what that episode is going to be like when you interview him. Oh my God.
The
that
shift,
poor guy. Oh my God.
The shift from I'm my manhood is dependent. I can fuck the shit out of this person versus I can pleasure this person with my mouth in a very subtle way.
Most women are going to come from oral sex more than they're going to come from penetrative sex.
That's correct.
I'd say, like,
at least that's what this book
75
says.
To 80% of the time, maybe more.
So you think that this guy is not just making an argument for people, guys with small dicks?
It has nothing to do with dicks. It has to do with the willingness of a man or a woman, whoever it is, or they, to sexually please the partner. And the way you please a partner is by mostly clitoral stimulation.
This is exactly it. I've been thinking a lot about this on this trip, about this idea of giving and receiving. We've talked about this.
Yes, I would like to hear more. What
are
your thoughts?
My uncle actually bought me a Brené Brown book all about this.
Really?
Well, at least one chapter is about this. I'm very excited to read it.
And we talked about the tendencies, which is giving and receiving.
It relates to this.
The
we can get
tendencies.
Into this.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, here's why I keep thinking about it. We're in Chicago with our whole family. It's my grandpa's 90th birthday. This is the one that was very sick, who's still battling with cancer. But he turned 90. Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable that he made it and got his driver's license renewed.
That's some hope right there.
Yeah.
And was criticizing my fucking driving technique.
Mine too.
I'm driving him home from his party last night. And I go through a yellow. I turn left on a yellow.
He didn't
and he
like
goes,
that.
From the back seat. Oh, I wouldn't have done that.
I know. It's like being in a driver's ed course.
Then we park. He goes, make sure the engine's off. I go, the engine's off. We get out. I start walking away. I see him walk around to the front seat, get in the car, turn the car on, turn the car off, get out of the car, close the door, turns to me. He goes, the engine was on. No, the engine wasn't on. I go, you turned it on.
He makes up his own little narrative.
I don't know what the fuck that was. But
he has gotten off the cuckoo chain sometimes. Sometimes he gets off the cuckoo train.
Well, it's interesting. It reminds me of what we were just watching our home family videos last night.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at myself as a kid, criticizing my brother in these videos.
Yeah, well, he was 5 years younger, and you weren't criticizing him. You were just being, like, reprimanding him. You were always, like, the dad to him.
So I started hating myself in these videos.
What?
Yeah.
You were adorable. A little pudgy, but cute.
What the fuck?
You went through a little pudgy phase. First, you were super skinny, had to get super slim jeans. Then at some point or another, you got a little chubby.
Husky.
A little husky.
I remember I remember vividly the day we went to go get jeans for me. I think it might have been in the Gap, and you put some jeans over the thing. They're clearly not fitting because the slims are not fitting anymore. And then the person helping us goes, I think he's ready for husky.
Oh, I remember that.
What
I actually...
the fuck, husky? What do I need a husky for?
I actually remember this. It's so weird.
You
I can,
do remember
there's
this, right?
There's very few things I can remember in my life, but that is one of the things. Because I remember you were like, I felt so bad because he said husky. And you're like, husky?
Yeah, and then what you go, no, it's fine. It's fine. Everyone's husky. I love that you immediately tried to curb it.
I'm not going to have anybody give my kid a body dysmorphic issue.
But it is interesting. So I'm going on a lot of
you
tangents
are.
Here.
And by the way, I wanted to do some housekeeping.
What the fuck? We got four threads that are completely not tied together right now.
This is because it's post-coffee, not pre-coffee.
Yes.
Well, no, I was going to say, we had some really good reviews on iTunes.
Oh, my
fuck,
Mom.
I wanted to read one of those.
This is, all right, here's what we're going to get back to. We're going to get back to giving and receiving. We're going to get back to the grandparents and how that has affected the way that I'm perceiving the world right now. And I think we're going to stop talking about me as a husky. Okay, so here's a wonderful review. We love when you guys leave us ratings and reviews on iTunes. Even if you're not listening through iTunes, it still helps us a lot if you go on iTunes.
Right. You can listen on Spotify and Stitcher and apparently iHeartRadio. I didn't realize you can listen to all these different places. But if you can just go to the iTunes app and hit the review tab, these reviews really determine our exposure. So it's good.
And also they're extremely helpful for us to read that you're into this and, you know,
or what interests you
about the show.
Specific.
So this says, love this podcast, 5 stars by Amber M. Green. I stumbled upon this podcast while at work because that's where I usually listen to podcasts. Yes, I know. And I instantly fell in love. The bond between Cam and his mother is truly inspiring, and the guests they have every week never fail to entertain me during my boring shift at work. Thank you guys for creating this, and please never stop. Oh,
thank you, Amber.
Thank you, Amber.
I
we'll
love
try
people
never
that,
to stop.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting?
Who
I love
knows?
When people say they stumble upon us. What the hell are they searching for?
They're searching for some sex tips.
From a mother and a son.
I don't know if that's what they're searching for.
How the hell did you stumble
up sex
upon
and then
us?
They're like, what the fuck is sex talk with my mom?
Yeah. And we do have a really cool new logo. You should check it out. It's the same logo that we had on our sticker.
You don't think they checked it out? They played the goddamn thing.
Well, you might just have it on subscribe and it just comes up. So.
All right. Another thing we want to let you know about is that we have an Instagram account, @sextalkwithmymom, that features hilarious videos of our favorite guests. For our 200th episode, we asked them to say a few words for us, and they did, and now they're all on Instagram.
We also have a YouTube video that goes all the way through with them all together. So now you can visualize, you could see the videos and not just listen to what they had to say.
And Second City is now on YouTube as well, right? Our time in Sex and City?
Oh, yeah. Well, on YouTube, we are also Sex Talk with My Mom. So check us out so you can see the video.
One more thing I want to talk about is our Patreon.
Oh, yeah, Patreon.
Patreon.com/Sex Talk with My Mom is a place that you can help support us financially and keep our lights on, keep this podcast moving. And right now, we're at 34 patrons.
Oh, yeah.
We get to 50 patrons. My mother has offered...
I like the way you put that, my mother.
Because you did this.
You got us into this. I was a spontaneous challenge that I came up with. Because you had a prior episode, which was episode what? What episode was it?
What?
What episode?
Are you fucking kidding me?
When you did the blueberries that were infused with weed.
I was never on with weed. So I'm not going to even bring it up.
You had an edible.
It was called Edibles Give Me Diarrhea or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, when you were describing
Cam has diarrhea on edibles.
For whatever reason, it sounded fun to me, except for the diarrhea part.
So you shout out, if we get to 50 patrons, we're doing edibles on the show.
Yeah, we're going to do a podcast episode doing edibles, but we need these patrons in order to do it. So you guys, you want to push us over that 50 patron mark? This is what you got to do. Go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. Sign up for whatever suits your budget and watch us or listen to us. We might do a video of it too. When we decide to do a little legal, because it's in California, edibles.
Okay. By the way, not so legal on Friday night.
What?
I go out with my friends. You go out. You stay in with Gerald.
Yeah, I stay in with my younger son, and I you know what? I made a date with him. I had an opportunity to go to a very fancy restaurant with some other friends, and I'm like, you know, I never get to see my son alone, my youngest son, because he's always on the go. He's always got other people to see, places to go, not be with his mother. But this particular time, he came in that day. He was exhausted. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll hang out with you, Mom.
Meanwhile, you had plans offered to you.
That's what I'm saying. I had plans to go to a nice restaurant. I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay home with my Jeremy.
It was very sweet because I thought for sure you're going to bail on him.
Uh-uh. He probably would have bailed on me. And even said that. He said, 100%. Go to Joe Stone Crab in the city? Oh.
He would have gone with your friends if he...
If the opportunity arose, he would have left you at home.
Totally.
But I decided, well, I'm gonna stay home with him and have a bonding night. And the first thing I say to him is, okay, let's discuss the weed and alcohol situation.
As all mothers do, and he is
over 24, so he is legal.
You get a lot of flack from people thinking that you smoke with your son.
And you know what I do, and I don't know, understand why women.
We're really throwing Gerald under the bus here.
No, but I don't know.
Does he want this part of his life exposed?
What? Who gives a fuck? Am I supposed to swear? Anyway,
episodes, you don't need to swear on the show.
I think of weed is less of a problem or less
toxic
or harmful than I do alcohol. So to me,
I also think you just enjoy it more.
No, it's not that. I like both. So I ended up having a glass of wine, and I took a hit of weed,
a little hitsky,
and then we ordered in some food, and we put on our favorite music because the two of us love to expose each other to different types of music, which it turns out he should have been born in the 70s because he likes all the funk music that I liked when I was in the 70s. So we're playing some funk music and we're having a great time, and it gets interrupted by your sister.
I was not going to bring up this part, but if you'd like to play that.
Immediately comes in and Jeremy whispers to me, you know she's going to ask us to turn the music down. And the first thing she said is, hey, can you turn the music down? I'm like, God bless it. No.
The kid is your mother.
The kid is my mother.
And I'm the father.
I know. My daughter's my mother. My son's my father.
And the other son
and
is
the other
your bro.
Son is my bro. What a fucked up world I live in.
That is fucking
hilarious.
It's
a world according to Karen Lee Potter.
That is hysterical. Okay.
All right. Where were we?
We were talking about, do we have any other housekeeping? I don't think so.
Oh, we got a lot.
It's Mother's Day. Mother's Day. If you join Patreon at a $25 level, we'll make you a personalized Mother's Day video for your mother or whoever you'd like to give a video to.
Right.
Give it to your pet if you'd like.
Yeah. It's just in honor of Mother's Day.
Yes.
So that was that.
Okay. I was talking about Papa, how he's turning 90, how he's kind of regressing to his childhood days.
Having older parents makes me realize that...
How I hated myself as a child.
No, it's like, I know how I dealt with 2 and 4 year olds, you know, that you can like, well, if they're acting up, you could put them in a timeout, or if they're, you know, if they need to be fed or something, you can like, you know, stick them in a high chair. You can't do that with elderly parents. I can't like put them in a stroller and say, okay, we're leaving the building because you're acting poorly.
Yeah. You also can't control what they're saying.
No.
And they are hard of hearing.
So they're saying everything very loudly.
My grandparents, the other side, turns to me in the middle of this 90th birthday party. They're sitting next to one of my cousins.
Who's gay,
although he's never come out because he doesn't feel it's necessary to come out.
No.
But it's evident that he likes men. He's admitted it. And they shout out. They're trying to whisper to me. They shout out.
With a Spanish, Argentine
accent. Yeah. It's not a choice. It's what God made him gay. And this is it.
Right in front of him.
And I'm like, where is this even coming from? We were not talking about
because
this.
Because my nephew likes to dress in a very...
he was wearing a race car jacket.
Yeah, but it's a flamboyant look. He's got a very, very eccentric look.
How do you feel that we're talking about all of our family members? Do you think they give a fuck?
Our family members?
Yeah.
If they listen to the podcast and object, we will admit them next time.
Oh, give them...
But until
ask for
that
forgiveness,
happens,
not for permission. That's good.
I'll ask for forgiveness. I won't do it again. But obviously, you know, we're not saying anything negative. We're just stating facts.
We love them all.
We do.
Even if you can leave the car running.
Some of the comments that come out of their mouth are just astounding.
So here, can I talk about the little giving and taking I've been thinking a lot about? Because we're spending so much family time.
Yeah.
So when I'm with a family... It's challenging.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
It's a little bit of a mind fuck. On the one hand, we're spending a lot of time, we're sharing a lot of shit, in, I could easily say, you know, I want this. I want the bed with the better room.
Oh, you're talking about
the room with a better bed.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I'm like, well, listen, my brother's gonna be sleeping on the couch. He's not gonna have a fucking wink of sleep. He's been traveling for hours. Should I just give him the bed that instead, and I'll take the couch? Okay. So on the one hand, I want it for myself. On the other hand, I care about him. In a way, he's kind of an extension of me. You know what I'm saying here?
Well, he's your younger brother who you kind of raised as a child.
So it could have been anyone in the family.
This is true, because you're an obliger.
I'm like, well, it's a... I want the whole situation to be better. And if that means that this person's going to get like way more pleasure or comfort out of this...
That's very
giving
of you. And
it's a minor sacrifice for me, even though I prefer it.
It's not a minor sacrifice. You probably wouldn't get a wink of sleep, and he could easily sleep on a couch anywhere.
Okay. So this is just an example. But, you know, for example, driving Papa to his 90th birthday party, he could have driven himself, but he didn't want to do it because it was at night. And so I decided I'll be the DD. I'm not going to drink, but I'll drive him.
That was very nice of you.
I'm not going to have as much fun, but I'll drive him.
That was super nice.
And so with this
and then you got shit on about your driving.
I did. So do you see? So it's this dichotomy of like, okay, I want something for myself, but in the end, it's actually going to be a better situation for everyone if I take a little bit of a sacrifice and then they get a bigger thing. So it's this constant battle, but it's like viewing myself as an individual or an organism with many tentacles,
this
and
is
like
true.
My family and people around me are tentacles. Okay, this is great. However, not everyone is playing this game.
Yeah, your sister doesn't play the game?
No, I'm not saying that. Actually, I had a very good talk with my sister about this. About, you know, maybe our natural instincts might be a little different, or we have different awarenesses in terms of like, you know, sensitivities to this.
See, I relate this all to my social work training, which is sibling configurations. Mm. Where you are in the family. If you're the firstborn, you're used to getting all the attention. You're getting things your way. You're the star of the show, right?
You're the second one. Fucking conflict with my sister
reason. No, I'm talking about anybody. The second child is always
anybody. She's clearly the firstborn. I'm clearly the secondborn.
Oh, I'm a firstborn. I could tell you that was the same with me. The second one doesn't get as much attention because they're just like a tag along. You know?
I'm the tag along?
You're the tag along. So what they have to do, though, is to shine in other ways, like be charismatic or funny or goofy or walk around like you know, with a popcorn bowl on your head and cowboy boots when you're in your diaper. You know, that's kind of like what the second born has to do to get attention.
Okay, so how does this relate to the whole giving?
Well, usually it's harder for the firstborn to give because they're used to having so much, and the second one was used to, you know, being like kind of like shafted because the older one is going
to
take more.
So you think it's harder for you to give because you're the firstborn?
I don't know. I mean, I probably am used to getting things my own way because I'm the firstborn.
This is the first I've ever heard you say this.
Well, it might be true. Especially if it's the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a younger sister. You know. And then the next one, if there's a huge gap between the last two, it's almost like the last one like is almost 6 years apart. It's almost like the last one's an only child.
Mm. Well.
Which is a whole different dynamic, too.
Or the baby of the
learn,
family,
you don't
right?
learn to share. You get spoiled a lot, which my brother was the youngest child.
And my brother. You think Gerald was spoiled?
No, but he got a lot of attention for being the youngest, you know, goof.
He was also by far the cutest of the whole family.
Oh, my God. He's so cute. But no, everybody was cute, just that he was little, so we all thought...
He wasn't a husky.
He was times husky in his life as well.
Cool. All right, so I'm relating this all back. It's this idea of pleasuring other people and seeing them as part of yourself. You got more to say over here?
He actually wasn't ever a husky.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I was a husky. He was not.
I just realized he was never a husky.
Never husky.
Who cares?
Okay, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do. He just in general was a cute little fuck.
I don't know.
It was because he wasn't uptight. He was like a little rascal.
He was known as like the mayor of everywhere he went. He's the kind of person that everybody wants to hang around.
Gerald, why is this?
It's the Gerald Show.
It should be called the Gerald Show at this point because we just talk about Gerald on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, sometimes you got to talk about the little cutie pie.
Okay, anyway. I'm relating this all back to this idea of giving and receiving. is the goal to just try to take for yourself and kind of, if every, here's what I'm trying to say. We can function in a world or a family society where everyone is on the same page, as we're all just going to try to take and for ourselves and handle ourselves. Or we can function in a society where we're all like, we're all going to try to give to the other people, and then as a result, everyone's going to be taken care of.
And everybody will be happy.
This is like that allegory with all the kings sitting around the bowl of food. Did we already talk about this
in
the show?
No, I've never heard this. Or if I did, I forgot.
Yeah, I think it's like this Greek allegory, I think. All these gods are sitting around this massive pot of food, and they have these massive spoons. But the spoons are actually so large that if you dip them in the middle pot and then try to bring it to your mouth, it's so far away, you can never get it into your mouth.
So?
So they figured out,
as a team, everybody can get a sip?
You take a spoonful from the middle and you put it in the person's mouth across from you.
Oh.
And then everyone
that is
taken care
cool.
of.
Yeah. I think that's the way our society used to be, like in terms of like we'd all forge together.
I actually think in the allegory they all died and they all starved to death.
Then what kind of allegory is that?
It's just an allegory.
It was like a stupid allegory that if they all died, then
it's
obviously
that's
not a
happy
good
ending. It's a tragedy.
Why did you bring it up in terms of how you
because
should
I'm
function as a society?
It kind of gets to this idea, is are we functioning in a society where everyone kind of views each other as like an extension of themselves and thus cares for them? Or is it like, let's just
fend for ourselves.
Yeah, which I think is a very capitalist idea.
Yeah, I think that's basically the way the United States is in general.
But in a family, it's challenging. And yeah, I think with close friends, it's challenging.
Yeah.
Because you play by different rules sometimes, and then there can be resentment built up.
There's always like one person that seems to be a little bit more controlling or selfish.
I think there can be many people. I actually think in any relationship, it's almost impossible to have. I think this dynamic is constantly in flux. And I also think that it's going to be, so not only is it changing with the person at all times, but it's going to have a different dynamic with every person that you're around.
Well, like let's just think of like a man-woman relationship. There's always like a power imbalance. It's never actually equal. So one person sometimes has more power than the other. I always find that it's a little teeter-totter in terms of the power, in terms of the dance that you do, even sexually.
Yeah. Well, so this relates. I'm trying to bring this all back to sex. It's Sex Talk with My Mom. This relates to She Comes First, the book by Ann Kerner, because it's all about using your mouth to pleasure this person and in turn gaining pleasure from that, which I think is accurate.
Right. I think a lot of women like to give blowjobs because they know that the pleasure they're giving the guy is so intense that he will then experience happiness. You'll experience happiness because you give him this pleasure, but also you have a little more power than once you have that dynamic going.
Yeah, some people will do that for the power.
Yeah.
Other people do it because they feel like that, you know, they have it almost is like gets to an existential like thing. Like they have reason to exist because they clearly are worthy.
Or you can
of life.
Or you can be like me and say, who's more important, me or the New York Giants?
What? What the fuck does that mean?
That means that I have that kind of power. At the time that
what the fuck are you?
Use your imagination.
You wanted to fuck during a New York Giants game, and Deez was that on the fence?
No, I'm saying if you're giving someone oral pleasure, you can get them to say whatever you want. So I could get him in the middle of that to say that he preferred me over the New York Giants.
What the fuck kind of weird fucking shit is that? The fuck is that?
All right, let's move on. You can use your imagination.
I don't want to use my imagination. I don't need to use my imagination because you just spelled it out for me.
You kept saying, well, what does that mean? I just finally...
Because what the fuck is that?
I thought it was a comical thing that I thought I'd share with you.
I wish you hadn't.
Okay, moving on.
Ugh. All right.
TMI.
Yeah.
Too much information. I'm just saying that, you know... A lot of people, if you watch porn, it looks like these women are just like, oh, I get so sexually turned on by giving someone a blowjob. That's probably not the case.
I think if you care about the person,
You could
then,
be,
then you'll get that gratification from it.
Or if it's part of sex.
And then I start thinking, well, I'm going to start doing this. Okay, so now I have a newfound.
Oh, here it comes.
What?
You're worried about if you get diseases from doing this.
No.
What?
I am worried. But I also think that, okay, so I have this new idea of like, okay, well, look, you have a new perspective on sex. You can, you know, I am a powerful person.
Now you got this inside information.
Because I got the inside scoop.
You got insider trading information.
But then I'm like, what, am I going to start going down on these strangers? It seems like such a vulnerable act, such an intense, intimate thing. I'm going to start doing this suck on your clit. It's a stranger.
Well, that's why I always found it weird that prostitutes would charge more money to have intercourse than to give head.
Yeah, because I know you mentioned this on the show.
That's why I find it to be like such. It just like seems like, well, who wants someone?
Your face is right there. All your senses are right
there.
And
like people can come in your mouth then, and you know, it's just a whole different experience than if you're actually just having sex, which you can close your eyes and pretend you're not even there.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear from the listeners as to what they think is the whole situation with the blowjobs.
Do you have any
oral sex?
Do you have any other thoughts that this has spurred about giving, taking, receiving?
Yeah, I just think it's really important for men especially to understand that women are not as consumed with the whole act of penetration as they are.
Right. Well, I think the man has reason to be concerned with it because that's usually how the man gets off.
Right. Well, that's my point, is that women don't need you to pound away for 45 minutes. They can just get off it can have it happen for a couple minutes. They'd be, okay, we're all both done here. So I think it's just something that is propagated by misinformation.
And Freud, this is why you started hating Freud?
I think Freud has a lot of faulty theories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have been obsessed with this idea by Gretchen Rubin recently.
Yeah. So
podcaster.
Yeah. I've seen her speak at the Podcast Movement with her sister. And she has several books out right now. One of the books is called The Four Tendencies, and I haven't even read it, but I wanted to take a quiz to figure out.
You haven't read it. You've been talking about it the whole 10 days we've been here.
I'm interested in it.
What have you read if you have not read the book?
I haven't read the book.
What's their podcast, by the way?
The podcast is called 10% Happier.
No, that's Dan Harris's podcast. It's called Happier with Gretchen Rubin. Jesus Christ.
Okay. I'm not good with names.
I thought maybe she knows it better than I do because I don't know if it was just Happier with Gretchen Rubin. And then you definitely didn't have it.
So I'm reading her latest book, though. That's what I'm trying
to
tell you.
All right. So are we going to do this quiz?
No, I'm just going to tell you what her latest book is first.
Oh, you don't even know this?
No, I don't know her latest book. Her latest book, which is the one I'm reading right now, is called Better Than Before. And she brings up in the first couple chapters.
Are you just constantly reading self-help books?
No, I also read fiction.
Okay.
But I do like to read about
I'm not judging, but I'm kind of reading about self-help.
I guess
it's not a self-help book.
Social work, master's in social work, and most of that was psychology and sociology mixed together. So I'm very interested in the way that human mind thinks. And so the four tendencies are, one is the upholder, two is the questioner, three is the obliger, and four is the rebel. And this is her philosophy on her philosophy is based on these tendencies that if you know.
Okay, what are each of these things?
Well, you have to know why does she want you to know.
Are you stalling?
Yes. Okay. It's basically by asking one simple question, how do I respond to expectations? We gain exciting insight into ourselves. And when we know how other people respond to expectations, we understand them far more effectively as well. So you need to know which one of these four, they're different. They're two kinds of expectations, outer expectations, meeting work deadlines, etc., and inner expectations, keeping a New Year's resolution, those kind of things.
This also relates to the giving thing because it's like, expectations can be like someone expects something of you, or you expect something of someone else or yourself, and then you can choose to give to them and meet those expectations or not.
And knowing our tendency can help us set up a situation in the ways that make it more likely that we'll achieve our aims. We can make better decisions, meet deadlines, meet our promises to others, suffer less stress, and engage more deeply with others if we know which one of these tendencies that we are or who we're dealing with.
Okay.
So there's a quiz that we can take on the four tendencies.
What are the four tendencies?
I just went through
them. But no one knows what the fucking upholder is, the
questioner, I know.
An obliger. So, just give us the cliff notes.
No, I can't do that.
You've been giving the cliff notes all weekend.
I know, but I think I kind of made them up.
Okay, so make it up for the audience.
Well, I think what it is the upholder sounds like someone who upholds all the rules all the time. They uphold the their own inner rules, and they uphold the outer rules. Like they never go through a stop sign, even if there's nobody around. That kind of thing. Then the next one is a questioner who questions
things. What is expected
things.
Of them?
Yeah, so the questioner is going to question things, and once it makes sense to them, they're going to uphold those things too. And then the third one is, and I'm probably not saying anything in depth right now because I didn't even read the book yet.
I don't understand why you talk about it nonstop if
because
you don't know what the fuck
the
you're talking about.
The obliger is someone who would rather give to...
Feels obligated.
Yes, to other people's rules or expectations than their own. And the last one is the rebel that basically doesn't adhere to any rules or anybody's expectations, and even their own.
So the obliger is kind of like the backbender.
So yeah, and so what I figured, and what she said, she was briefly describing it in the Audible I was listening to Better Than Before. She said that most people fit into either the questioner or the obliger categories. There's a very small amount that are upholders and rebels.
Mm-hmm. What are you?
I think I'm a questioner, but I don't know because I have to finish. I have to take the quiz, and I think sometimes I lean towards the upholder too, but I don't think I'm a obliger as much as I am a little bit of an obliger too.
I think a lot of these
they kind of blend.
They blend, and also probably parts of you. Like, I'll be an obliger around you.
Yeah, and you might not be an obliger.
I might be a questioner around D's.
Why'd you pick him up for the question?
I don't know.
You have a lot of questioners.
Came to my mind.
I have a lot of questions there, too. Anyway, but I feel like you're an obliger.
I know, because you've been telling me all fucking weekend I'm an obliger.
And then I asked Jeremy, since it's a Jeremy show, what he was, and he says he thinks he's an obliger. Well, considering the fact that the last time he came in, he slept on a tablecloth. And this time he came in and he didn't even have a towel. I had to use a hand towel to wash himself. I kind of think he might be, he's the one sleeping in the living room the whole time with basically.
He just doesn't complain, so that's why he ends up, but he does make the tit for tat situation because he's like, well, if I'm sleeping on the couch, I'm not, I'm getting drunk at this party. I'm not the DD.
Oh, yeah, he didn't have to DD.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so are we going to take this? There's a quiz online, the Gretchen Rubin Four Tendencies quiz.
Well, let's do the first one.
All right, when you've formed a healthy habit in the past, what helped you stick to it? A, I'm pretty good at sticking to habits even when no one else cares. B, doing a lot of research and customization about why and how I might keep that habit. C, I could stick to a good habit only when I'm answerable to someone else. Or D, usually I don't choose to bind myself in advance to a particular course of action.
I'm pretty good at sticking to habits.
I'm going
to
say you usually don't choose to bind yourself in advance to a particular course of action.
What the hell? When I want to work out or do yoga or whatever or meditate, you're wrong, okay? No. I'm answering you're not supposed to answer the questions for me.
All right, so you want to say I'm pretty good at sticking to habits?
Yeah, I'm pretty good sticking to habits.
All right, I don't think that's accurate, but okay. Which description suits you best? Discipline, sometimes even when it doesn't make sense?
No.
B, asks necessary questions?
Yes.
What's with you and the questions? I think you want to be a questioner. Anytime you see an answer with questions in here, you're saying, I want to do that because I'm a questioner. Which description best describes you? Puts others, clients, families, neighbors, coworkers first and refuses to be bossed by others.
Yes, necessary question.
I'm going to say refuses to be bossed by others.
No.
This is unbelievable.
You think I'm a rebel.
You don't know anything about yourself.
You are acting like a little know-it-all.
All right. Ask necessary questions?
Yes. All right. Here we go.
Oh,
man. This is a long-ass question here. Let's skip that one.
We're going to skip it. This is such a rebel move by you.
Yes, maybe I'm a rebel. People get frustrated. Commitments to others.
It won't let you just skip it. All right. We're gonna take a pause and we'll come back.
Okay.
All right, we're back. Give them the results, mother.
The results are.
The results
surprise,
are.
Surprise, surprise. I'm a questioner.
Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why you're a questioner. It's because literally you were answering the questions so that you could be a questioner.
Well, it makes sense. Questioners question all expectations and they respond to an expectation only if they conclude that it makes sense. In essence, they meet only inner expectations.
Here's my response to you.
What?
You are a rebel.
A rebel?
You're a rebel and you uphold what your sister wants, but that's about it.
Oh!
You're an upholder for one person in the world and a rebel for all the rest.
Okay, that is completely false, except for the part about my sister. Anyway, so what do you think you are?
I think around you and around the family, I'm an obliger. Around my friends, I'm an obliger.
and around your clients?
Around these, I'm a questioner. And around
and the clients, obliger. Yeah. So basically, we're 100% obliger, except around these?
Around upholder around my clients.
Oh, you're an upholder.
Yeah.
Meaning that you will
buy the books, gonna do it. I'll make it happen.
That could be an obliger, though.
What's the difference between an upholder and obliger? The upholder takes into consideration themselves equally as the people outside of themselves. And the obliger just doesn't give a shit about themselves, gets walked all over.
Can I tell you what the difference?
Hates the world because of it.
No, listen. Upholder meets outer expectations and meets inner expectations. And a questioner resists outer expectations and meets inner expectations. Obliger meets outer expectations and resists inner expectations. And the rebel resists outer and inner expectations. So
let me ask you something. Was that English?
I'm reading to you what they said.
I didn't get any of that.
What is it that you didn't understand?
I just want to know the difference between an upholder and obliger.
Okay. An upholder meets outer expectations like that, what the world
and inner expectations
and inner,
and the obliger just holds outer expectations and not inner expectations.
And it may resist inner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you think I resist a lot of inner expectations?
I don't think you resist it as much as you just will put other people's first.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, you know, and I think
this could just be a story that you've made up that I've agreed with.
Okay. Well, we shall see. You guys that are listening, let us know what you are.
I think
and
at
why
this
you
point
are.
They've tuned out because this is boring as fuck.
Why do you say something like this? See, I'm questioning that. Why are you saying what you're saying? Because you're more concerned about what other people think than what you thought about that. Because if you didn't think it was interesting, you wouldn't have gone on and on and on about it.
All right.
So I'm going back to where we started. I'm a questioner, you're obliger, call it a day.
All right.
What she did say is that the majority of people fit into either the questioner or the obliger category, and the rebel and the upholders are very small in proportion.
Why are we talking about this?
We want to know about other people.
That's not why we're talking.
Well, why do you want to talk about it? Let's talk about sex, baby.
It was relating to the fact that it is about giving to other people and meeting their expectations, which also relates to the sex. Should we read these texts?
Yes, but I want to say one other thing. We're going to be doing a little book club here. So the book of the month of April, which I guess we should say May too, since we just started our book club, in honor of Ian Kerner, our future guest, is called She Comes First.
Read it and let us know your thoughts. If you have any questions for Ian, let us know.
Text mom.
That's our hotline. Yes, text mom. Give us a text. Give us a voicemail. And we'll read it. By the way, we have a live show coming up. We didn't mention that.
Oh, exciting.
On May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, come celebrate with us.
It's
at
Sunday.
7 p.m. with Rai Dune, Brandon Calvillo of the I'm Sorry Dad podcast. We'll be performing at the Hollywood Improv.
Very exciting.
In Los Angeles.
And we're going to be doing a live podcast there.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
All right. So
come out and see us. You'll get a chance to meet all of us.
Let's read some of these texts.
Let's do that.
A lot of them still relate to people's craziest place they've had sex.
And
one of them actually related to last week's morning after show, which I thought was pretty fascinating.
All right. Which do you want to do first?
Let's do that one first.
See, notice I asked you a question.
Oh, wow. The questioner comes in with the question. You know, and that's another tendency that I will say that you do have.
I ask a lot of questions.
I'll ask you a question and then you respond
with a question.
With a, what do you think? And
see?
I get so fucking irritated. Oh, you just kicked Gus in the face. Okay. All right. This is what the person said in with regard to our last week's episode, which was all about different types of sex that people can have.
Yes.
This person said, my husband and I have been together for over 12 years. We have sex about weekly. It's almost always only for the fun of sex. We love each other very much, but don't have the deep connection during sex. Sometimes it bothers me. We've talked about it, but he doesn't understand what I'm even talking about. He tries, though, and I appreciate that on a very deep level. We trust each other. We snuggle naked to bond. We are in love. We still explore new and interesting things. I think that as long as you connect within your relationship, sex can be just for the fun, and that's okay.
I'm with her.
Yeah, I know you're goddamn with her.
Yeah, it was
sure.
like identical. She said it much more eloquently than I've ever said it.
Do you snuggle naked to bond?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes I like snuggling.
So
I love cuddling.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perspective that I can't really
relate to because you haven't been in a relationship for 12 years with the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, everything she said, I mean, she did say it sometimes bothers her that it's not at a deeper level, but then she realizes that they do a lot of things that probably are deeper than she's imagining.
Yeah.
So they're trying new stuff. And they seem to both be happy with the way their sex life is going. So, hey, more power to you, baby.
Yeah. It seems that that this type of sex, this type of discussion, this is a relationship to me that stands out as one of companionship.
Yeah.
Like we're friends and we're doing this together and we turn each other on sexually.
Yeah.
But it's not one in which you're getting completed by the other person.
Yeah, and maybe that's not necessary.
I think that's in an early phase of the relationship. You think we're kind of deluded to think this person actually completes me. I feel like a whole person. I think this could be in the infatuation period or something.
You like that. I do the trimester theory.
Oh, taking credit for my own thinking.
Yeah, the first trimester theory that I came up with.
Okay.
Actually, one of my friends, Glenn Johnson, came up with it.
Okay, you wanted to.
But basically, the honeymoon period.
Your interior decorator into the.
Yes, he came up with a great, great idea here. But he did tell me about this idea of the first trimester being one of like a honeymoon period where you don't really see many flaws and you have this romantic idea about how awesome this person is, that they don't have any flaws really. And then you find out in the second trimester that there's some little red flags that pop up. And whether or not you can get through those red flags unscathed is another story.
If our podcast were a drinking game and you had a drink every time you mentioned the trimester theory and explain in detail what the fuck it is, they would be hammered right now.
But what if someone had just tuned in for the first time and never had a chance to hear my trimester? So the last trimester is when you can see that the person has, you know, certain flaws and there's a few red flags out there, but you can manage to overcome them. And that's how the relationship can ride into the sunset together.
Okay.
What?
All right. I wanted to read some of these crazy sex stories.
Okay.
You tell me if these were in the, I don't know. These can go either way. If they're in the companionship phase, which trimester they're in at this point. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So they're
all in the, probably the first, if not pre trimesters.
This person was describing a whole list of different places that they had sex. Okay. And then they said, my girlfriend was blowing me in the laundry room when a tenant walked in and caught us. Okay.
First trimester.
As for the hotel bathroom, it was Memorial Day weekend and we gathered 30 plus friends to go to Vegas. We rented out two suites, but people still had to wait for the restroom. We had all just returned after day clubbing and my GF and I decided to shower together. Then mid shower, she grabbed my dick and stuck it in her. That sex was probably my favorite because it was raw and we tried really hard to not make noises. I'm not sure if people outside ever found out, but we inspired other couples because they all decided to shower together after we did. P.S. The drive from Vegas back to L.A. was wild, too. My GF and I were in our own car, and she kept giving me roadhead. As a fair and loving partner, I proceeded to finger fuck her. This was all fun and dandy until I started getting lightheaded and my hands got numb.
This is something would happen to you.
I think this has happened to me. Not being able to feel the steering wheel scared the fuck out of me, so I pulled over to the freeway shoulder. After hydrating a bit, Smart move. I was able to recover and continue to finger fuck her to completion while I was still on the highway shoulder. Vegas is still one of our favorite places this day.
Okay.
Alex.
So
thank you, Alex.
All those things, okay, they don't fall into any of the trimesters because whenever you're in a different place, even then it renews and re-sparks all kinds of sexual.
You're at square one again.
You're at square one again.
That is fascinating.
Thank you.
Well, this is an addendum to the trimester theory that I've never heard before.
No, I think we've mentioned before the fact that sex doesn't really have to do with the trimester theory. It's more about relationships.
Do you think it's completely disentangled from the trimester theory?
Pretty much so.
Wow. Unrelated. That's surprising to me.
I mean, if there's some serious red flags about the sex you're having, then I guess it would go in there. like if the only way they can get off is like, you know, by making you bloody, I would say that would be a red flag. And that may now end up bearing and going into the third trimester. But other than that, I don't know how much the sex relates to it.
What the bloody?
I'm trying to think of like what thing could be completely intolerable. That would be intolerable to me. If that's the only way someone can get off is like by beating me bloody. Well, that would be a red flag.
I bet there are a lot of listeners that's their yum. So don't yuck it, mother.
I'm not yucking it. I'm just saying that would be a red flag for me.
We got some other wonderful texts. I'll just read one quick one. We got to wrap it up over here.
Okay. I would like to also say to the listeners that I would love to hear what your red flags are in general. That's an interesting question.
Hey, just listen to episode 197. I think it's one of your funniest episodes yet. I could not stop laughing. And you two gave me some great advice towards the end. I really am proud of y'all, how y'all are growing as people. Keep it up. Did we read that one already?
No, but that was really sweet.
We might have read it to ourselves because that's sweet
as
hell.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Thank you very much. I think we did read it on the show. All right. I think that we got to wrap it up, mother.
That was it?
There's a bunch of others here. You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Tanner says, Tanner is now a patron. I think he's a member of the WAC
Pack. Thank you, Tanner. Thank you so much for...
he's one of Gerald's friends and now a friend of ours.
Yeah. And apparently John, too. Those are two patrons. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. And we really appreciate that. You know, no matter what your budget,
Shout out to Tanner and Gerald's new podcast that's coming out called Our Dads Are Dead.
Yeah, that's going to be
be very interesting.
Really cool
podcast. We heard their intro. It's great. Or their first episode. All right. Tanner said, after listening to you guys for so long on your own pod, it was really such a joy to see where you guys make the magic happen, but even cooler to hear how you put it all together. You guys are doing the Lord's work, freeing me from all my Midwestern Catholic guilt around sex, so thanks for slowly but surely making me a healthier sexual being, smiley face. What a sweet little monster.
By the way, he's not so little. But I got to say, that is wonderful. People that have listened to us over the years and have realized, and it's helped them overcome whatever Catholic guilt or whatever religious beliefs have said you can't masturbate or you can't have sex.
It could have just been a parent who didn't want you to be sexual.
Anything.
Or over-sexualized you. Yeah, it could be whatever.
Whatever it is, if we're helping you overcome those kind of societal constraints, yay.
Yay, yay, yay. All right. On that note, I think we got to sing it. Thank you very much, Tanner. And on that note, I think we got to sing it out.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the Gretchen Rubin four tendencies.
Oh
yeah.
Fucking A.
Nailed it, didn't I?
Wonderful job, Moot.
Yay. Ding, 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 ding.
We're going to have Gretchen Rubin on the show just for that.
Yep.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for spreading the
love. Love you.
And if you care to, please send this to a friend. That's the best way to get the word out about our show.
Sharing is caring.